Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to the new episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And Larry, we're all out of sorts tonight. We're not recording on our usual night, which is why I never got a chance to shave. You've got a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow, not as bad as mine, of course. So basically, you don't have to bother tweeting us or leaving comments on YouTube. We know we look like shit.
We look like Nixon at that debate with Kennedy.
Just like... But we did decide to persevere, and we decided rather than wait a week, we're just going to go through to the motions tonight, just get the show out to you. So
you mean you're saying ahead of time we're mailing it in?
We're mailing it in ahead of time. But hopefully this will be an entertaining show, or at least, you know, as entertaining as all the other pieces of shit we do.
Okay.
But welcome to the show. Before we go any further, there's always business to conduct, and that would be...
Bing, bing. Ain't easy.
All right. Please remember, you can find all your riotous needs on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Go there, check out all the past episodes, synopses, comments, everything, both video and audio archives of the show, so you can check it out there. When you're done on thatriotshow.com, feel free to check us out on social media. The first place you can go to, Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a fan of the Riotous page on Facebook. Join a couple of hundred of other Riot fans. Growing by the day, I may add, Judo Larian.
Yeah.
Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow. That Riot Show. See? Nice and slow, so that you have no excuse not to go there and become a fan immediately. It makes Larry feel better.
Facebook.com/blowme.
There probably is a page like that, but anyway.
Well, of course there is.
When you get done with Facebook, do yourself a favor. Go to Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow, where we're having all sorts of fun. Many, many libertarians checking out the riot on Twitter, as well as the show, Larry. Building up the fan base over there. Also, where I get to spend a lot of my time when everybody else is sleeping in New York, I'm on Twitter doing such things as getting our hashtags trending a little bit. So for everybody out there, we'll get into that later. But check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow. So join the fun there.
You've been tweeting?
I've been constantly tweeting.
And
nonstop.
Coulter, you know who we are.
Yes. Ann Coulter, Pete Dominic, John Fugglesang,
Dino
Vidala, who, like, I think out of all those people, I think everyone except Funkel sang. No, actually, Funkel sang did block us. Yeah. I think everybody except for Pete Dominic blocked us. I'll give him credit, at least.
Like, I'm not on Twitter and these things because I don't care about it, but I got to tell you, if you're blocking people, you're a poozy. Yeah. You're so stupid.
Hairy fur pie. And yes, that's sexist.
God, I hope so.
So if anybody wants to try to shame us on that,
yeah,
genital shaming, feel free.
Why don't you fat shame us?
That too. I don't care. But anyway.
Whoa, Spreaker.
Well, before we get into that, we have to let Phil know.
Phil?
Rolo Podcast, please.
Roll it.
Scrollo Podcast coming up. Phil is hitting that. And of course, we do that to let you know that you can get the Riot as an audio podcast if you don't want to look at these ugly faces, especially when we haven't shaven. So just go to your favorite podcasting platform and download the latest of the Riot. You can go to iTunes, Spreaker, Podomatic, Mixcloud, TuneIn, YouTube, anywhere great podcasts can be heard. You can check us out there. Everything that's scrolled back on the screen, just go there. Search for that Riot show. Odds are we're on there. Big Fat John's on it. So if you're hearing us already or you would like to continue to hear us, just go to your favorite platform, podcasting platform, and check us out
that
there.
That also includes worriedaboutlosingyourjob.com. That's why Phil is back.
That's right. Right.
Because he heard about the success of Moistan. And
nothing like an Islamic immigrant to threaten you with your job. And Phil is back here, still working for that minimum wage. No problem. Fight for 15, eat my ass.
Eat my ass.
Phil, there you go.
Phil works for free. Ass, gas, or grass. Nobody runs.
All right,
let's go.
So let's hit the news du jour. No, that would be news of the day. How do you say news of the week in Frog?
News la semaine.
News of the semen. You heard it yourself. That's what you say in French. But anyway, here's the news of the week. Obviously, the most important one, something that we're quite happy about, Larry. El Presidente has finally kicked. Yes. Castro has finally kicked. He is dead. It took him long enough, like most communists, that are lazy about everything. So he died at 90, Larry. And, of course, in Miami, here in the U.S., dancing in the streets,
yep.
Quite literally dancing in the streets at the death of a fucking communist, mass-murdering, cock-sucking dictator,
yep.
90 miles to the south of Florida, ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic. I was watching all the highlights of the people dancing.
Yeah,
I mean,
fantastic.
They love to dance to shit like salsa and all that anyway, but dancing to the death of this douchebag is just the greatest thing in the world. And,
yes.
And like, it's so interesting to see the like dichotomy of it, like, you have these people dancing,
yes.
And celebrating.
Yes.
Then they had either today or yesterday, the people in Cuba, pretty much under like threats,
yes.
Had to turn out for the big funeral of El Presidente.
9 days of mourning.
Because if they don't, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I have a lot of Cuban friends, Larry. I know you have a few.
Yeah.
Liberals in this country, leftists in this country, really are so fucking ignorant. You had people on Twitter, a man of the people has passed away. A revolutionary icon has passed away. These are the same cocksuckers, usually college professors, usually socialists in this country.
Hollywood
assholes, celebrities, who, because they watch a dumb movie by Michael Moore, who told them that Cuba has free health care and 100% literacy,
yeah.
Both of which is bullshit, by the way,
yeah.
They're willing to excuse every horrid atrocity, and maybe Phil can be running a few if you weren't lazy while I make this rant.
Are you a communist?
El Presidente being a mass murderer. Firing squads, executions after kangaroo trials, lowering the standard of living year after year after year.
The average monthly income yeah. of a Cuban is $20.
Yeah.
Raul and Fidel, of course, are worth $900 million.
Yeah.
But the average Cuban makes $20, with the equivalent of 20 U.S. dollars a month.
So all you idiots that, oh, we praise Fidel Castro, we this and that. That idiot Prime Minister of Canada, what's his name?
Justin Trudeau. What a fucking idiot.
His heartfelt eulogy for
a great leader.
For a great leader,
visionary.
A revolutionary, an icon, this and that. It's like, I am struck. Look, we're not fans of Trump. Everybody knows that. But honestly, the same fucking idiots who are crying, who need safe spaces, who don't like to be triggered, who are passing around dopey change.org petitions saying that we got to get rid of the Electoral College or please cancel my finals this semester because Trump is president, right?
Signing signs, writing their names on signs saying not my president and all these things. Yeah.
All you assholes who do that for Trump in a nation whose laws protect your rights to say that shit about your president. Your president, yes. He's an asshole, but he's my president too right now, okay?
Right.
Or he's going to be on January 20th,
yeah.
All right? And you're praising a mass-murdering communist dictator who could have just, would have been happy to shoot you for saying the same shit if you were to do it in Cuba.
Or even just put you in jail. If you protest, there were no other political parties other than, there were no elections. I was telling you before the show, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy put in jail for 22 years for writing poetry criticizing him. I mean, look at it this way. If this is, you know, look, liberals always emphasize the health care and the literacy, right? You know, I'm always amused by the Mussolini made the trains run on time mentality.
Of course.
Or, you know, Hitler built the Autobahn. Like, these kind of, like, you're really lowering the bar and overlooking the bigger picture just because some piece of shit dictator got around to doing what, one night
I'm trying to understand how you can excuse hundreds of thousands of murders that this guy implemented and executed. Why is that like a footnote that you're willing to ignore?
Right.
I honestly don't get it. You do the same thing about Mao Zedong, Stalin, Lenin, like all these cocksucking murderers, Kim Jong-un, all these cocksuckers. Because what? Because it speaks to your collectivist dreams?
That's it.
Because saying
free
by
the
way, that you have free healthcare and 100% literacy, believing it and then excusing murders for that? Let me explain something for you. 100% healthcare just means one thing. It means you get to die in a shitty hospital in Havana. Please note, Castro went to France to get his medical care. All right? Other socialist countries come here, like Canadians. Canadian prime ministers don't stay in their shithole country for their health care. They come to the U.S.
Yeah, remember I was telling you that my folks just, they went to Florida a few weeks ago to visit some friends. They do this almost annually. They ran into, every time they go down there, they tell me about all the Canadians they run into, who, along with the nice weather, they go down there, they take care of their medical stuff, shit that won't get done in Canada. Meanwhile, if you were listening to Michael Moore and all the leftists, their system is the greatest thing in the world.
So
and overlooking, I mean, obviously Canada doesn't engage in murders and everything, but overlooking all the horrible things that he did, all the things that Raul did for him when he was his number one henchman, You've got to be kidding me. Why is it that those things don't matter as long as you think you're getting health care and education? This is an island of 11 million people, and 1.5 million have fled. Now, if this is such a paradise, can somebody explain to me sometime, and I've always asked this, but going back to when I was in high school, how come people are willing to get on rafts?
Fuck rafts!
Like
roars!
They look like it looks like the fucking raft that the cast of Gilligan's Island finally escaped on. And you're willing to go out in the ocean. A lot of people have died just to get to this country, which, according to Castro, is the worst country in the world. Why would people do that? I've never heard of Americans, with the exception of that criminal Chesimard, I've never heard of Americans, I got to flee to Cuba to get out of here. I mean,
well, that's always the sign. You know, that's an old adage. But that's always the sign of the robustness of a political and economic system, which is, where is the immigration? What's the direction of immigration? Is it emigration or immigration? Are people leaving your country net-net or coming into the country net-net.
And they have to sneak out.
Right. Nobody in Cuba is dying to get into Cuba. Nobody. There's people dying for Cuban cigars. No. Nobody wants to go live in Cuba, though, okay?
Have you ever seen pictures of it? They're driving American cars from the 1950s.
Yeah.
That's not like propaganda. I mean, look, I know a few people have been there recently. That's what they drive. And a lot of these cars... One guy told me he saw people just like pushing them down the street, like literally, like
the Flintstones.
Yeah, but it's just
it's really just something that I think that I hate to put it on millennials because there's also older liberals that have the same mentality.
Oh,
there's just people who their bias of what they think is the perfect society just does not allow them to accept it. Like, it's just to diverge a little bit. We're seeing the same thing in Venezuela. Socialism has destroyed Venezuela, all right? They're a net exporter of oil, okay? They should be a filthy rich country.
They should be like fucking Saudi Arabia.
They're not, okay? Because inflation is over 800%. Let me repeat that. Inflation is over 800% in Venezuela right now. For you rubes, again, take off your shoes. Feel free to count on your toes. That means that if something cost you a dollar on January 1st, by December of the same year, it would cost you $8. Okay? So, I don't understand. That's the first problem. Secondly, things are so bad in Venezuela, another communist paradise, that when the Red Cross sends medicine down there for humanitarian purposes, there are armed guerrillas killing people to steal that shit.
Right.
Because they can't afford... It's horrible. Their money is worthless, Larry. I saw pictures today. People don't count, even at shitty prices, they don't go, oh, that'll be like 800 pesos or whatever the fuck their currency is, right? What they'll do is, that'll be 12 pounds of money. That's how worthless the paper is. Right. They literally weigh the dollar, their paper currency. That's how worthless it is. Do you know where else that happened that led to good stuff? Nazi Germany. That's the hyperinflation that kicked the Germans over into the Nazi camp, by the way, okay? Right. So you have Venezuela that's a shithole like that. In Cuba, to this day, you still have people tearing off the wooden doors of their shitty apartments, building some sort of shitty sail out of bed sheets, yeah. Larry, right. And setting off for Miami.
And you have to sneak out because you're not allowed to leave. You can't fly out. You can't, I mean, think of the risk. These people are taking, and think of the lives, like, you know, like he was saying, like Venezuela. I was reading an article about Venezuela that right now, because of shortages, the police only report to work 3 days a week because they don't have enough electricity for the building. So the other days, it's out because of shortages. Their supermarkets have like nothing in them. So like even outside of, which is completely true, the currency disaster, the people have nothing. And there's been articles about them like going into Colombia, going into like neighboring countries. So it's again like fucking basic essentials.
And here's the funny part, funny haha, is that still sticking to their socialist guns, you know why they have to turn off electricity? Because they have stupid price controls on electricity.
Right. Yeah.
So by not allowing the free market to decide how much electricity is worth, the only thing these poor cocksuckers in Venezuela used to be able to count on was free electricity, right? So do you know what happened, just to show you how things work? The few enterprising young Venezuelans there started mining for Bitcoin. You know, that cryptocurrency that no government likes. Why? Because it's an unregulated currency. Right. And how do you earn Bitcoin? You plug in these big-ass computers and have them run 24/7, drawing all this electricity. So these poor, and I was reading these stories, there's a great article in, I think it was either Reason or the Free Enterprise, FEE, if you look them up, FEE.org, fee.org. I forget which one had this story, so forgive me if I give the wrong citation. Let's assume for the moment that it was Reason. But basically, Venezuelans figured out the only way they could avoid starvation was to plug these computers into the one resource they could still afford because of stupid socialist price fixing, which was electricity, all right? They would get these bitcoins mined at a higher rate than other countries, because in other countries, Larry, you plug in your computer, you have to take the cost of the electricity and subtract it from the profit of the bitcoin. So mining bitcoins isn't all that profitable. In Venezuela, since you don't have to worry about how much you're paying for electricity, you get bitcoins. And these poor cocksuckers would have to order food from Amazon.com. That was the only way they could eat. They had to depend on an American company to overnight them food. And as soon as the government caught on, you know what they did? Two things. One, they started hijacking the guys delivering the food overnight. Yeah. That's the first thing they did. The second thing they did was they outlawed mining for Bitcoin. Mind you, they didn't take the price controls off electricity because that would signal a failure of the socialist system. So rather than just say, all right, you want to mine for Bitcoin? It now costs you $1,000 a month for electricity. No, they couldn't do that.
I was going to point that out. The amount of like crime and hijack and just general theft in the country because of shortages. Right. Now that puts people in a desperate position where they have to steal from other people. They have to steal from neighbors.
They have to survive.
They have to find some way to survive. And like I have read just horrible stories. It's amazing anybody's still living in this country. And this was Hugo Chavez's country, that dickhead who used to say all those horrible things about Bush being a
that
drunk.
That Obama loved.
And
other Democrats invited to the U.S.
Yeah, and Sean Penn went down there and hugged them. These people are fucking idiots.
And you have to understand something. It's not a bad apple in Venezuela that caused this. It's socialism itself. It never works. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked anywhere. And before any of you idiots start talking about Sweden, it hasn't worked there either.
Yeah. I've been there twice. All right. It doesn't work.
It worked for them for like 10 years, literally. Worked for them for 10 years. And then it fell apart to the point where they had to roll back like half the shit. So now they're more like us than they were before.
Yeah, well, it's the Margaret Thatcher thing. You eventually run out of other people's money to spend.
Yeah.
Sweden, which I've been there twice. I can tell you right now, even to support their social welfare and their medical, the taxes are like 65% or something, and they were having a debate on like whether to raise it to 70. Like, you've got to be kidding me, and that's absolutely true. They will brag about like Saab and like their capitalist successes, but you know, for the people who like to talk, look, you're talking about 9 million people and made it work for
New York.
Yeah. Basically, that's it. That's the whole country. You have to realize
all the same race, all the same religion,
all
the same culture, so they don't have to worry about integrating people. And we joked about it before. The second they said, let's bring in a few refugees, that stand out like a sore thumb in Sweden, all right?
Yeah.
Among all these white, tall, blonde, blue-eyed, gorgeous people, both men and women.
Delicious.
All these brown Muslims, they stick out like sore thumbs, and guess what happened? A lot of rapes, a lot of violent incidents, a lot of riots.
To the point where Sweden decided to deport 80,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, they try to be open, but, you know, you're talking about...
And their system couldn't handle it financially either. It wasn't just a cultural clash. They couldn't afford to pay for people who didn't integrate and contribute, okay?
But it's a failure on so many levels. So look,
that's the point.
Castro, fuck him. I'm glad he's dead.
Actually, I'm so happy because when we were, I'll tell Larry, when we were in college, we used to joke and say, how are we going to celebrate when that cocksucker gets a bucket? We used to joke about it. And then after a while, we're like, how is this fucking guy still alive? We could not believe he was still alive. I think around 2000 or so, we just said, fuck it. Now we don't know if we'll be alive when he dies.
Yeah, my old joke was the parties at my house. But, I mean, now that he's gone. But, you know, look, it's also, you know, you realize that because of his position and because of all the wealth he's stashed away, he can afford to get the best doctors. He could go to Europe. He could go somewhere and get taken care of. We know he went to France. We know he went to Spain. He went to countries where he could get taken care of. He certainly didn't depend on his country, and even the hospitals are dilapidated. And I read one story that said that the beds are disgusting, and that they put like one sheet on the bed, and that the best doctors leave the country because you can't even like eke out a living.
By leave the country, he means escape.
Yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind is this alleged literacy rate of 100%. First of all, horseshit. Secondly, it's easy to have 100% literacy rate when you force people to read the same propaganda over and over again unless you shoot them. And that's not a joke. I'm not being sarcastic. In other words, unless you're part of the ruling elite, which means you're part of the Politburo or whatever it's called in Cuba, but the equivalent of the Politburo, You can't just say, I'm going to be a historian. I'm going to read all these great books on various economic systems. So I'll read Karl Marx, but maybe I'll read Wealth of Nations too. No, you don't get to read Wealth of Nations. You get to read Das Kapital. And yes. That's it, baby. And when you learn to read, that's all you learn to read. Okay? You're not allowed to think. So the reading, A, I don't believe it's 100%, but even if it were, it's 100% only for party-approved literature.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, there is. There's total control of television, total control of the radio, total control of what you read, whether it's the Communist Manifesto or whatever the fuck it is that they will allow you to read. You know, you're talking about people, I mean, look, granted they were highly illiterate when he took over. Okay. But you know what? This is what I meant about the Mussolini thing. You have to be able to say more than that. He's imprisoned people. He's killed people. There's no political opposition. There's no elections. He's living high on the hog. One of his bodyguards right now has a book coming out. I can't wait to read it. And it's all about his escapades and like banging like the hottest chicks on the island and drinking. And you know, but meanwhile, he's walking around in the stupid army fatigues,
yeah.
You know, which all the leftists think like he's a man of the people. He's not a fucking man of the people.
Him and Che Guevara,
scumbags.
Two murdering assholes,
yeah.
Two mass murdering assholes. So to the left, go fuck yourselves. We are nothing but happy. We laughed and laughed hard at the announcement of his death.
I hope
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I hope he suffered in some painful way when he died. I have zero sympathy for Castro dying. I have zero sympathy for any ignorant liberal who tries to tell me he was a man of the people, he did really well, he looked out for the small person, and that includes Bernie Sanders. I think there's an interview with him from 1985
yeah.
when he was mayor in Vermont somewhere where he was like, oh, Castro, good guy, looks out for the people. Go fuck yourself.
Well, that's not surprising since Bernie got married in what used to be the old Soviet Union.
Yeah.
But you know what? Bernie's a socialist and he's old and he's bought into this shit. It's actually more annoying to say Justin Trudeau. He's like 35 years old. How could you possibly be saying such stupid? You know what he said? I saw one interview where he said his father, who was a famous Canadian prime minister, went down there.
Yeah.
And he was very well received.
Yeah.
And he yelled into a microphone like Viva Castro and Viva Cuba. And like, you know, like you're not showing proper respect for these people. Think of the things he did. If you tried to do those things in Canada, you'd be run out of town.
And again, I'd like to just point out, like, if you live in a community that has older Cubans, older generation of Cubans, like people in their 60s and 70s right now, ask them what it was like when their parents or they as children came over from Cuba. Like after the revolution where Castro... Now look, was it Batista?
Batista was a douche.
Was a douchebag. He was nothing but a strong-armed right-wing dictator.
Right.
He got replaced by a left-wing dictator. The fact that a shithead scumbag asshole was overthrown is true, but it doesn't mean that automatically you could put anything in there and it could be 100 times better. Yes, Batista, the fact that he was gone... he had secret police Larry. He was also a murdering cocksucker.
No, he was horrible. There's,
okay, fair enough. They got rid of him.
There's no doubt.
No problem. Great. But why does that, by definition, mean Castro has to be good? Castro, it's same, you know, different dictator, same result, okay? That's like the same people who say, well, if you hate Trump, that must mean you're in love with Clinton or vice versa. No, I can say very, very convincingly, both of them suck. And guess what? Batista
right.
and Castro suck a dick.
Yeah, Cuba's had horrible leadership now going on like
100
years. And you know what? An interesting segue that we can talk about now, next topic if you want. Jill Stein, the moron from the Green Party. Now check this out. Her comment about this was that Castro was great because... He thumbed his nose at the empire or something like that, which means America.
Yeah.
And here's this idiot.
And she said something like, El Presidente, like something like that.
So meanwhile, here's Jill Stein. She's so stupid. And she wanted to be president of the United States. Now, segueing into how stupid her comment is, I'd like to get your thoughts. She's doing a vote recount, yep. challenge in Wisconsin. Yep. And I saw her on, with Kennedy on Fox Business News, because Kennedy's kind of a libertarian.
Yeah.
So I was watching the interview with her, and she said that she's going to expand it to like Pennsylvania. And meanwhile, even Kennedy was telling her, it might change like a couple hundred votes. It's not going to change the election. But here's what, and I give her credit. She challenged her right out. It turns out that during the entire campaign, Jill Stein raised $3.2 million already with this
recount
challenge because of stupid Democrats and Hillary Clinton sending some lawyer to humor them or whatever. She's already raised now $6 million more.
Yep.
Now, this money for you idiot Clinton supporters, But Clinton supporters, they're the ones who are really pouring the money. You're giving money to this woman, and it's just going to go to the coffers of the Green Party. They're not going to change over the election. It's not going to change.
Well, what's hilarious about it is I saw the breakdown of that money. So here's the law in Wisconsin. Some of you might say, well, how can someone who got like 1% of the vote demand a recount? Like, what is she hoping to change, to Larry's point?
Right.
Well, the law in a lot of states, Wisconsin, I think Michigan, Pennsylvania, basically all the states they're targeting that was supposed to be Clinton's blue firewall, they basically say any candidate, regardless of how many votes they got, can ask for a recount as long as they pay for it. All right? So, Jill Stein went out, raised the money. To Larry's point, I doubt it's Green Party hippies that put up $6 million. No. Over the course of 3 weeks, when the whole year they raised $3 million.
This is from Democrats who voted for Clinton, and they're still. This is another. This is a continuation.
That's part of their butthurt.
This is part of their meltdown.
Yeah.
They're hoping that first they started with the Electoral College people. They wanted them to change their minds and vote and give it. And now they're doing this.
And then what happened was they fell into some stupid computer scientists who said, "Oh well, the way these votes are, it's definite fraud. You know, there's something fishy going on here. We would do a recount if we were you, right?" So Clinton had to publicly say, no, it is what it is. But then, and who knows, maybe she put Jill Stein up to it. I don't know. I'm speculating, being a conspiracy theorist for once. But whatever. But when you look at the breakdown of the $6 million that she raised for recounts, 60% of it is going to her lawyers. Not for the purpose of recounting, but to lawyers' fees, okay? To me, this really is almost Trumpian in the way it's just meant to line her own pockets, whether she keeps it herself or her cronies get it, I don't know. But 60% is going not for the purpose of recounts, but to pay off lawyers and advisors and whatnot on this effort. So what is that all about? And it just goes to show you, honestly enough, or ironically enough, the only party that has nothing to say about the outcome is the Libertarian Party. Like, we've just accepted it and moved on. Gary Johnson has accepted it and moved on. You have the Green Party doing the recounts. You have the Democrats bitching about the Electoral College, but Hillary won the popular vote.
Yeah.
What the hell? Redistricting is at fault. Like, all this shit you hear from Democrats. And from Trump and the Republicans, Trump just can't help himself. He won. You would think, you would hope he'd be a little presidential and just stay above it. You won. You don't have to say anything.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does. Because apparently, when you're a 5-year-old trapped in a 70-year-old's body, you get up at 2 in the morning and you start tweeting again, even when you're the president-elect. And what did he say, Larry? I also won the popular vote.
Because
if you discount all the millions of illegal votes that the Democrats...
from illegal aliens who voted in the...
Are you fucking kidding me? You felt the need to say that? Because, of course, 10 seconds after he said that, you had all these papers like, totally false.
Right, there's no...
No basis in that.
Right, yeah.
No fact. It wasn't millions. Even if you could find a few, it's not in the millions. What the fuck are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. Ironically enough, who's the only party you haven't heard anything from?
Right.
The Libertarians.
The only adults.
The only adults in the league.
Seriously.
We said it during the campaign.
I saw a statement from Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. They're like, well, the election's over. Your president's going to be Trump. And they're like, we're focusing now on 2020 and building our party. That's it. Jill Stein, piece of shit.
Eat my ass.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton, eat my ass and his taint.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
More
you.
Stupidity. Trump tweeting to them.
And, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. And just, oh my God. And he's not even in yet. And it's oh, yikes.
It's just.
I know those... I said I'd take a year off from like saying anything good or bad. I always do that. But
yeah.
I got to tell you, I already have like a very bad vibe.
We all do. Like, I don't think it's getting any better anytime soon.
Oh, God.
But whatever. You know, you still have the ridiculous parades in and out of New York here in that shitty tower of his. Again, Big Fat John adding several hours to his commute time thanks to that asshole shutting down tunnels and streets, Larry, and all that.
Cops standing in front of gated areas. And I mean, at least if nothing else, the protesters seem to have disappeared.
Yeah, but now it's just security around the president-elect and his family. I mean, you know. It is what it is, but it doesn't make me any happier. And of course, Larry, as long as we're just rolling ADD from one subject to the other, we've got the news that Trump has already saved U.S. jobs.
Oh, thank God.
Now, listen. Remember at the beginning of this episode, I started by saying on Twitter, we're trying to get some hashtags trending. Phil, please put up the hashtag behind me that I want our... followers, readers, listeners, viewers to try to populate. It's a new term I've coined, Rubepublicans. So every time Trump does something stupid and he tries to take credit for something he has no business taking credit for, and all his people say, yay, Trump, and all the Rubes, let's call them what they are, Rubepublicans. Hashtag Rubepublicans.
R-U-B-E.
Publicans.
Publicans. As in R-E-T-A-R-D-S.
You fucking asshole. So, let me ask you
how appropriate that he saved carrier jobs, since he's a carrier of ignorance.
So, Phil and I, and we turned off Phil's mic so you wouldn't be able to hear him about this. But here's the thing. So, supposedly carrier said they've reached a deal with Trump.
Yeah.
Which, again, let me remind people, he's not president yet. He has no authority yet. So there's no real deal-making with him, Larry.
Right.
Okay, but whatever. Companies have now caught on to the fact that if they're willing to put out a press release full of shit that they were going to send jobs to Mexico or to Canada or to China, but thanks to President Trump, they're not going to, they've learned, you know what you get in return? Crony tax breaks from an asshole liberal president.
Shut up those taxes, baby.
Okay? Now, I've had several Republicans on Facebook and Twitter say, but what's wrong with cutting taxes, Big Fat John? Isn't that what Republicans and conservatives want? What's the matter with you libertarians? We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, and Trump is cutting it.
R-U-B-E. Republicans.
You fucking assholes. The point is, when Trump becomes president, and he has his full Republican Congress, Larry...
Yeah, he's going to have that control of both.
If he pushes for a bill that says the corporate tax is eliminated, and then he signs that bill for every business, mom and pop, all the way up to Walmart, guess who will immediately get on the show, drop trow, and say... Trump is our president, and he did a great thing. It'll be us.
I will spoon it out of my ass and eat it if I'm wrong about this. That's how stupid it is.
Now, if he were to do that once he took office, absolutely. We would be like free market capitalism, free enterprise system all the way. But that's not what's happening.
No.
What's happening is more of everything that he complained about, draining swamps, draining cocks. I don't know what the fuck he was saying. But this is just more of the same. Why? Because he is offering targeted breaks to people he agrees with, to companies that appear to be playing ball with him. So what's he doing? He's trading PR victories for tax breaks. And mind you, not federal tax breaks. You know who's on the hook for those tax breaks?
The
state of Indiana, in the carrier case, is the one on the hook. And what did carrier agree to do? Instead of allegedly saying we're going to get rid of 2,100 jobs, we're only going to get rid of about 1,500.
Yeah.
Okay? So What did they do? They made a smart business move, all right? For writing a press release, they got massive tax breaks. First of all, why, if a company needs to move, for whatever reason, because they're greedy, because they need to keep prices down, whatever the fuck, it is inappropriate for the government to step in and change the market conditions artificially.
That's not what the president does.
Can you rubes understand that? That is not a Republican thing. That is not a Democratic thing. That is just fucking statism. It's no different than socialism. It just happens to be for a company you like. That's all.
And for the Republicans who are tweeting you, like, why don't you like it? Yeah. You want to know what the flip side of all this is? He's still threatening 35% tariffs on any company that leaves or, like, doesn't come back. Since when do Republicans support 35%? Since when do they support tariffs? You're supposed to be the fucking party that's against tariffs. Remember when Dick Gephardt, that asshole Democrat from the 80s and 90s, bragged about, I want to be a protectionist. I want to be with tariffs. And all the Republicans had a major freak out. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't want to do that at all. So... R-U-B-E.
Publicans.
Publicans.
Republicans.
D-E-M-O cunts. So you're all fucking losers.
You're all statists. Like, I almost refuse to use Republican and Democrat anymore, or left or right even anymore, to describe political leanings. It's either statist or liberty. That's it.
It's amazing, it's amazing everyone's against bullying, since they all believe in the federal government.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And once again, the same reason that, like, now all you Democrats, I saw one Democrat say, oh man, I'm so upset that they got rid of the nuclear option for presidential nominees when we were in charge. Because you wanted to ram through Obama's things.
Asshole.
Okay, great. You got rid of it. Guess what? Now Trump gets to do it.
And you know what the funny thing is? If you go back on this show, we talked about it and fucking warned you. Now you're going to get the nuclear option. You're not going to get it. They're going to do what they want. They're going to do it for the Supreme Court. Anything that they feel like doing it.
So good for you.
And you know what? And I'm sure the Democrats will complain, but you really have no right to complain. You're the ones who did it. You're the ones, stupid fucking Obama, I have a phone and a pen or a pen and a phone. You know, these
guys. What happens now?
Yeah, guess what? Well, this is what you get for circumventing the Constitution and our system of how we do things.
Right.
Just because he was frustrated with Congress and not getting things done that he wanted.
Instead of leaving his ivory tower and trying to work with people,
and
I'm not putting it all on him, Republicans didn't want to work with him, but please don't paint it like it was evil Republicans. Fucking Democrats couldn't get anything done with Obama. So the point is, you're short-sighted. Everybody, both demo cunts and Republicans.
R-U-B-E.
Republicans. And demo cunts.
I shouldn't blush, man.
But, it's, you know, don't be so short-sighted. So now you've got an idiot in office, a true moron in office. And guess what? There's nothing to stop him. No Supreme Court, no House, no Senate, nothing. Because we've just gotten used to turning over power more and more to statism, to statists, to fucking kings-in-waiting, whether it's Obama, Bush, now Trump. That's on us as a fucking ignorant nation of voters, Larry.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is what happens when you just want to get your way.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is like something that drives me crazy. Like, for instance, like, you know, like John talks about, like, the drone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not constitutionally, you didn't go to Congress, he's just doing it. Okay? Nobody cares. Okay? I mean, I could give you a million examples of just the president's, it's kind of like, we never really declared war in Iraq, we invade Iraq. We never really declared war in Afghanistan, we invaded Afghanistan. Well, we did that first. But the point is, everybody's just kind of, you know, you would almost think that the procedures that are in place are just like, well, you know.
Like, it's almost like Congress doesn't want to do their job because then they're on the hook for something.
Yeah.
So they're like, look, we could be here for 20 years.
They're too busy running for re-election.
Yeah, so why not just let the president do it? He's got term limits like congressmen don't. So, yeah, let's give the, you know, let the president do all the hard work. We'll just sit here and laugh.
But this is going to be very interesting now because Trump's got the House, he's got the Senate.
The Supreme Court?
That I actually think he might make the right choice on. But the idea for me is that the Democrats went out of their way with the nuclear option and all this stuff. And that's that jerk off Harry Reid, who I can't stand. Thank God he's retiring. That might be the only good news coming out of D.C. But this is what you get. You guys came up with this. You did it. And you were all smiles when you could do it and say to the Republicans, yeah, fuck you. It doesn't matter what you think. You know what you did? You're looking at least 4 years now of getting that treatment. So I better not hear any fucking complaints from
you. And good for you.
Stop with recounts. Stop having meltdowns. Stop trying to get him out of office. Quite frankly, it's really on you because you ran a horrible candidate who couldn't energize the fucking base, for God's sakes. And the fact that she could lose to this guy, Phil, shut up. I can't believe. And
you get what you deserve, and really, what you should be doing is just literally looking at the best thing for liberty. You have to look at the best things you can to promote individual, to protect the individual, not to become part of the mindless, soulless, fucking lemming collective.
The group.
The group think is amazing.
It's good. It's for the greater good. All right. We don't need free stuff. We don't need all that stuff.
What happened to the outrage of conservatives when it comes to the Constitution?
They are awful.
We had our president-elect say that anybody who burns a flag should have his citizenship revoked or be put in jail.
Or be put in prison. Are you kidding me?
Are you fucking out of your mind? You want to revoke? First of all, he can't do it. Thankfully, I hope somebody would remember that the Supreme Court, you know, a liberal named Justice Antonin Scalia is the one who wrote the majority opinion that burning a flag is protected free speech.
Well, this goes even back to Bush Sr. Remember when they had the rash of it happening when he was president? He wanted that be constitutional amendment banning. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. What kind of thinking is that? That's absolutely right. Trump tweeted that the other day. He goes, you should lose your citizenship or be put in prison. Are you nuts? This is like his thing with the press. Remember that he wants to change the libel laws so he can like go after them? I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, like the libertarian position, very simple, is the flag your property? If yes, burn it. It's like, nobody gives a fuck. Burn your own flag now.
I find it offensive, but you know what? It's protected.
I was going to say, very simply, just because I choose not to do it, doesn't mean I expect other people to choose not to do it, okay? I was raised by a war veteran, okay? I was taught you don't let the flag hit the ground, period. The only way a flag burns is when you're ceremoniously getting rid of it, meaning it's been torn or it's no longer being flown. Then you burn it in a ceremony. You fold it the right way, whatever. That is sort of like tradition and protocol. I also understand that, members of the armed services may not have the freedom to burn or desecrate a flag because of their agreement as members of the armed services, okay? But individual citizens burning their own property in a public square, not presenting a danger to anyone, meaning like I don't throw a burning flag on you, Larry, is protected speech. That's settled, okay?
We understand that it's offensive. It's offensive to me. I actually don't like seeing that at all. But you know what? If you're a fucking asshole and you want to do it, you're one of these left-wing... Remember I mentioned the Revolutionary Communist Party? They all showed up outside the Republican convention. They were there because of Trump's Make America Great Again, their chant was America was never great.
Right.
Assholes. And then they burned the flag. Now, of course, you're talking about like 8 or 9 douchebags, but you know what? If they want to do that...
Let them burn the flag.
You can't
do the most un-American thing imaginable, which is to stifle free speech in order to say it's because America's great. In other words, you can't say America's so great that I'm going to shit on the First Amendment to protect the flag of the country that's so great. Because by definition, that act makes you not great. Okay? So we can't
Tolerating the flag burning is what makes us great. Tolerating it to the point where you don't put people in jail, you don't beat them, you don't attack them, you don't take their citizenship.
What the fuck does that make?
That makes, you know what? I got to, that makes less sense to me than putting somebody in jail. Because at least if you're talking about jail, you could say it's a hazard, it's a danger, somebody got burned. Like, you could come up with something. Taking your citizenship away? What the fuck is that? Why don't we take his citizenship away from him? His real name is Trump, and he's from Scotland.
it's one of those things that, like, again, I'm not even sure if he understands what he's saying. And, like, Larry brought up Bush Sr. I think Clinton also mentioned something to that effect, that he wanted a constitutional amendment against flag desecration, okay? But at least, even though I disagree with them, at least those guys were saying, The only way it cannot be protected free speech is if we alter the Constitution to allow it, okay? Meaning that two-thirds of the states have to ratify it, the whole nine yards. It's a democratic process. And by the way, there's a provision in the Constitution which would allow you to change that, okay?
You can do it.
I disagree with it, but
you can
it's a peaceful, legal way of saying this is how we address it.
Yeah, we have procedures for doing it. The problem with Trump's little tweet, this is like during that one of the debates when the Republicans have like 100 people running, and he said, we're going to do extreme vetting, we're going to get really tough, and we're going to do, and he said this, he goes, we're going to do waterboarding and even tougher things than that. And one of the reporters said to him, well, the head of the CIA said, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it. The waterboarding, it's a failure. It's and all that. And what was Trump's response? If I tell them to do it, they're going to do it. See, this is that mentality. Oh, really? You're going to burn a flag? Well, I'm going to put you in jail and take your citizenship away. This is not how things work. And that, and you know, that lends itself to that part of his mentality that's really like fascist or statist. He's such an authoritarian that he thinks he gets to just hand out orders. And that's the, you know what that is? That's the fucking CEO in him. That I just get to tell people what to do. And everybody goes, well, yes, sir. And like, they run about their business. He's in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I don't know what the most disturbing part of that whole response is, to be honest with you. There's so many things wrong with that whole scenario of Trump. First of all, again, I'll reiterate it. Why is the president-elect of the United States tweeting this shit out? Literally. Like, at least if he passed off a press release to someone, maybe that stupid twat Kellyanne Conway or whatever could read it and go, maybe we should reword this. You know, like, maybe someone who had read that initial statement from Trump would have said, let's reword it that we support a constitutional amendment. Do you know what I mean? To make it at least appear legal, okay?
Right.
That's the first thing, that you have
something
Trump.
That's reasonably appropriate, yeah. But it would be nice if there was an adult to tell him to stop doing
right.
this.
So that's the first problem I have. Second problem is, I don't know if he's actually dumb enough to think that the president has that sort of power in this country. That's the other thing that I like. If he believes it, we got big problems.
Right.
And then if he said it just to rile people up, then we got an idiot who likes to rile up fucking neo-Nazis and fucking Neanderthals in this country.
He's a child.
And he's basically, the president-elect is uttering calls for violence. Okay? So either believes it and doesn't know that he can't do it, or he knows he can't do it, but he's trying to use the bully pulpit to incite other fucking Republicans, hashtag Republicans,
right.
into beating the shit out of any hippie they see burning a flag. All right?
And also, he's trying to, you know, he still wants to score points with his base because they support it like crazy.
The base being the hashtag
RUBE
Republicans.
Republicans. He's doing a thank you tour right now. Did
yeah.
you see that?
Yeah,
he
rally,
kicked it
yeah.
off in Cincinnati. Okay, that's a cute idea, but you know what? This kind of stuff plays to that base.
Absolutely.
Because the fucking rubes, they like that idea. Look, I'll say it again. I understand, you know, burning the flag, it's obnoxious. I really don't like it. I think if I saw it live, it would really upset me, but I'd probably just walk away. And I don't think I would attack the person doing it. It would really bother me.
Even if you yelled at them.
But you know what?
Even if you yelled at them, that's free speech on your part. So
right.
yell at them. But threatening them?
Yeah, but I'm not the president-elect.
Right,
nobody
exactly.
nobody cares if I yell, hey, asshole, why, right. you know, suppose I set your underwear on fire. Like, you're not supposed to respond. He's the president, for God's sake. You know, it's the one thing I give Obama credit for. I never felt like he was unpresidential, unstatesmanlike. And I think that when he speaks, and even when he goes around the world, now he's been overseas, he represents us pretty well. It's his worldview that I'm not interested in. But as part of him and his character, you don't see him doing stupid fucking things like this. I mean, for God's sake, somebody's got to tell him that when you become president, you can't be tweeting, okay? And I get the feeling, I actually get the feeling he's going to continue to do it because he looks at it as circumventing the lying media, the corrupt media. And that way, he doesn't have to go through CNN. He doesn't have to go through... And look, granted, I watched some of CNN the other day. I was home. I was watching. They're incredibly biased against
sure.
him. And they are.
They are.
They showed a whole montage of Chris Cuomo to Wolf Blitzer. They're just bashing him like without mercy. I get all that. But you know what? He has got to realize that this is a serious job now. You're going to be the most powerful person in the world. And something that Hillary Clinton said. The most powerful person in the world cannot be somebody who's easily agitated
right.
and pushed because somebody tweeted, you're an asshole. Like, he's got to learn that, you know.
Yeah, and Anderson Cooper, talking about CNN and their bias, said something very true. He goes, why is this guy tweeting at 2 a.m.? If he's up at 2 a.m., why isn't he absorbing the latest ISIS information?
Like, right, why isn't he reading intelligence briefings? Yeah,
he's in the middle of a presidential transition. His focus, every waking moment, every second that he's awake, he's got one person after another in front of him saying, Mr. President-elect, this is so-and-so, and this is the situation in Chad. This is the situation in Mosul. This is the situation in North Korea. This is the situation in Moscow. This is the situation in Cuba. Yeah. Fidel Castro just died. Please don't say anything stupid, because now we have an opportunity to reel in Cuba potentially as a trade partner and as to introduce some freedom, real lasting changes. Come on. I mean, really? You're going to just read something you read on the internet and you're going to tweet about it as the President of the United States? Holy fuck.
And the problem I worry about is who's going to tell him to stop doing all this stupid shit? And a lot of the other thing which bothers me is a lot of his assumptions are, like, remember a minute ago I was mentioning we're going to do waterboarding and even tougher. Okay, now he meets this General Mattis, and what is Mattis? We covered this last week. What does Mattis tell him? Forget waterboarding and torture. He goes, I'd get further with a pack of cigarettes and a six-pack. Meaning, you sit down and you bullshit with people and you talk with them, and that's better than stringing them up by their balls and doing like nasty stuff to them. And, like, you know, I mean, at least he came out and he said, I'm very impressed.
And the final thing that a lot of people are not talking about that I want to close this particular segue on is, you have to understand also that by going from Twitter, and this might be part of his, going through Twitter rather, part of his master plan is, I'm cutting all the, like Larry said, I don't have to deal with the media. But here's the real problem with that. It means that he's less accountable. He gets to get away with more shit. Because, listen, as far as I know, there's no real rule that says the president has to give weekly press conferences.
Yeah,
or deal with these cocksuckers.
That's a modern...
Right. I mean, honestly, the only thing he's required to do, I think, is once a year give a State of the Union give a State of the Union address. Right. That's like, I think, law that he has to do.
No, he has to.
Right?
Yeah.
But meeting on a Friday night or after some major event, meeting with the media to answer questions, he doesn't have to do that.
No.
And we already know Obama, for the most part, excluded Fox News, right? So the president, again, for you Democrats, Obama really didn't want to deal with Fox News, if you remember. Like,
he just recently bashed them and blamed them for Hillary loss.
Even in the press pool, there were no Fox reporters. Or if they were, he would never call on them. They'd arrange it so they sat in the back. The whole nine yards, all right? So, and Nixon was hostile towards the press, all right? So hostility between, friction between presidents and the press has existed. But no one has ever said, I'm not dealing with the press at all.
Yeah, and you have to remember because of the optics of politics. A lot of the reasons they started doing it, especially like on a Friday, is because they wanted to get the White House, whoever's in the White House, wanted to get their spin on something, version of it, before the press ran with it. And all you would hear like all weekend long is they fucked up. I mean, look, he's gonna have to learn to deal. Look at Ronald Reagan, who he loves to fucking reference. Ronald Reagan used to walk around. Sam Donaldson, that dickhead, used to yell, hey, Mr. Reagan, blah, 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 like something stupid. Reagan would just like wave it up. Or you have to learn how to deal with people. You can't be like, if I say something, you're going to tweet, talk to Larry Marshall. What a fucking asshole. Like, you know.
Which, by the way, he's done. Like, he'd be like, New York Times, failing newspaper, embarrassment, sad. You know, like in his usual third grade fucking grammar and sentence structure.
And to show you that nothing means anything to him, then after he meets with the...
It's a jewel.
Yeah. American jewel.
American.
Always respected them and shit like that.
And you can see that even now. I'd like to get your thoughts on this very quickly before we run out of time. Here's an interesting thing. Who could have been more against Trump and bashing him than Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney said so many horrible things. He's incompetent. He's unfit. He's not presidential. He actually went around the country a little bit, bad-mouthing him, making speeches, he wanted to be the leader of the Never Trumpers. Okay? And now he's meeting with them. They had dinner at the Jacques Georges or whatever it is, and they're talking. And he walks out. I'm really impressed with Donald Trump's knowledge and his curiosity of issues and his grasp of blah, 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 blah. How can this be happening? I mean, doesn't that show you that it's all fucking phony?
I'm telling you, like, nobody has any integrity left. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. And or maybe like enough people that I can count on one hand, honestly. I was never a Romney supporter, ever.
No.
A lot of you will remember on this very show me referring to him as White Obama. And he's the architect of Obamacare in Massachusetts. I never liked Romney. But I never for once thought that Romney was a scumbag. Okay? I just thought, again, misguided, you know, but I never viewed him as, you know, and I think even in his business dealings, you know, when they tried to smear him with that Book of Wills and all
bullshit.
That was bullshit. The guy seems to me to be a decent human being, okay?
Yeah. Smart guy.
But it goes to show you his integrity, because I almost guarantee you, the only reason he got called in by Trump is so Trump can humiliate him by saying, Romney came crawling back to me, and they turned him away, you know, or whatever.
Because the buzz is that he's being considered for Secretary of State.
He's not being considered for shit. Let me put it this way. I'd be really surprised if he actually ended up with anything more than dog catcher, because I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, another one that I thought at least had some integrity when he refused to endorse him at the Republican National Convention. Larry and I said, well, look, maybe this guy does have some balls. You know, like, he stood up to the machine or whatever. Sold out at the end because of his hatred for Hillary Clinton was so overwhelming that he accepted the devil into his home. Fair enough, all right? And I said, yes, I use the devil analogy because Cruz is supposedly a devout Christian, okay? That's what you did. You hated Hillary Clinton so much you accepted the devil in Trump, okay?
We know people like this.
Okay, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen with this asshole? And again, I don't care if tomorrow he did everything exactly right. I don't care. Because the ends cannot justify the means, okay? He got here by fooling you Republicans, #Republicans,
yeah.
Okay? By lying, by having no ideology, no moral compass, just going by whatever seemed to benefit him at that moment. You can see it. You can see that he's refusing to give up his businesses in blind trusts. You can see that he has obvious conflicts of interest that he plans to milk and to make the most money out of. You see that he's looking to set up his family. We've said it. There is nothing redeeming about this man. There's no quality. Zero. Other than he's a marvelous huckster. He's a marvelous con man. Other than that, I see zero.
And how many people, sorry, Phil, how many people do we know just because of their, really, look, we don't like Hillary Clinton either. All right, granted. But because of that, that's actually was their main reason for voting for Trump. They had to stop her.
Yeah.
So now you got this guy. Can you imagine if he actually really put somebody in jail because they burned the flag or they did something?
Again, I'm just hoping.
Where does that stop?
I'm just hoping that people realize you can't do that. But
even if he tried. Like what? Then what's next? Anybody who criticizes him?
Absolutely.
You could go to jail, lose your citizenship. How about anybody who votes against him?
Or if he actually does start rounding up Muslims and starts deporting them
and have a registry?
Yeah. What happens? Like, I mean, seriously.
I don't think these things are gonna happen.
I don't either. But you never know. It happened in World War. It happened during World War II.
Yeah, but the wall backed off. He's already backing off.
No, I understand that he has no real convictions.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think what I've said all. A lot of it's just stupid rhetoric. I don't think he's really going to see any of these things. So the only thing which I think he will do, I think he's committed to putting conservatives on the Supreme Court. I think he's going to do that because it's an easy layup for him. The taxes, I think he's going to go after that because that's another easy thing for him to. But like the wall, the Muslim thing, forget that. What was that other? I'm sorry. Repeal and replace Obamacare. Yeah, we'll see about that. That was another one of his big ones. He said it, how many times did he say, we have to repeal this horrible Obamacare and replace it with something? You know what the problem is? Think of what he's saying. All right, we're going to take it out. But he wants to replace it with something. If you wind up with single payer, then what are Republicans going to say about that? They have no convictions at all. Conservatives do not support single payer is socialism.
Right, the other hope you have is that a full Republican Congress that has no need of a President Trump will pass their own agenda, in essence making Paul Ryan the president of the United States.
Right, and Trump will just be the idiot who signs everything.
Yeah. So we'll see. But
okay.
Larry?
That's it.
Yeah, it's been a long day. We're all out of sorts. So what do you say we wrap this up?
Yes. Let's wrap it up, and I'm already thinking about Christmas, so that's
gonna Are you thinking?
Yeah, I love Christmas.
That's right. Larry is the atheist who loves Christmas.
I'm not an atheist. Hey.
I thought you said you were.
Agnostic.
Larry's the agnostic who loves Christmas.
I love Christmas. I love the gifts. I love the family
stuff. He loves
stuff.
The family stuff.
I spend a lot of time with my family. Christmas is great. I mean, I understand the religious implication, but I just love it.
There you go.
I watch all those stupid movies.
I know, you're like my wife. My wife forced me to watch, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer with her. The things that don't mean anything to you, John.
No,
what kind of person are you?
I'm just, I guess, old and jaded, you know.
It's from all that gay porn.
Gay porn. And by the way, decorum prevents us from saying this, but Larry and I were witness to some of the funniest yet vilest porn we have ever seen in our life last week. Somebody on Twitter forwarded us the link. Of course, we had to investigate it. Vile, horrible. But Larry, I don't think I've laughed as hard in my life at what we saw.
That was a riot.
Okay. So if you want to know what it was, tweet me. Maybe I'll let you know what it was. But until that point, until next week, America, this has been your host, Big Bad John.
And Judah Larry M.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.